If I can have your attention here in the media center, we will start today's winner's press conference for the NASCAR Xfinity Series Kansas Lottery 300 here at Kansas Speedway. And we are joined by none other than Christopher Bell, driver of the number 18 JBL Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. We have crew chief Eric Phillips, and with Joe Gibbs Racing, we have Steve D'Souza. Christopher, the question was, let's get right off the way. Please talk about that move past the 20 and how you were able to find your way to victory lane today.
Well, all race long, we were kind of mired back there in fourth, and me and Reddick were kind of always back-to-back, and it seemed like whenever he was in front of me, I could kind of make up ground on him, and then towards the end of the race, I got the better restart line, and he was pushing me, but it seemed like once Reddick kind of fell off, then he got off my quarter panel there, I could really start making time, and I didn't think winning was a possibility, just or even catching the 22. I just was trying to maintain my own there, and the next thing you know, it started coming in and getting really, really good right up there on the wall, and caught the 22, and he got boxed in on lap traffic. And then whenever I got to Eric, I ran him down from a long ways back, and I got a pretty good run off of two and got to his inside, and I made sure that I drove in really hard into three on the bottom to clear him, and by watching the video, it looked like I had him cleared by a pretty good margin, and then I slid up to the top to try and get my momentum back up. And I hate that he didn't get to finish the race where he should have, and or we didn't get to race it out. But, I'm going for my first Xfinity win, and I'm sorry it worked out that way, but, yeah.
Okay. Eric, quite the race. From your perspective, how nervous were you in those final laps?
pretty nervous. Everyone was close on fuel there, so you knew some of the guys were playing or trying to manage their fuel. And we raced so hard there with the 42 for so long. We were just trying to get away so you could, on old tires here up against the wall, you got to concentrate and make sure you don't get the thing in the fence. And, we have a pretty decent points or had pretty decent points to try to get to Homestead for the Owners' Championship, and that was a major goal. So you didn't want to go up and fence the thing. So we're just trying to keep going. And so we finally got away from the 42, and then it's like, wow, there's the 22. We got around him, and it's like, all right, let's save some gas. And I looked up, and we're half a second faster than the 20 at that point. And it's like, all right. I looked at my engineers, and we talked about fuel one more time, and we were right on our number. So it's like, for your first win, let's go for it. And Christopher did an awesome job, taking care of the race car all day and being there at the end, and that's the most important part.
Steve, this young man to your right, very special in the Joe Gibbs Racing organization. What is it that you saw today out of Christopher that gives you hope about his future with Joe Gibbs Racing?
Well, I think he demonstrated that, obviously, by getting first place. But, when I think about him for a second here, that's his fifth Xfinity race and only his second mile-and-a-half race in these types of cars. So that was pretty special, I thought. And I know talking to him throughout the weekend, he was a little bit nervous trying to feel out the cars. Confidence came, performance came. Eric did an awesome job with him and all the group. And I think for Joe Gibbs Racing, obviously we're excited about the balance of this year. He'll be in the car and then obviously going next year. And, with Toyota TRD and David Wilson, everybody at TRD, the support that they've given him and just really watching him come up through the ranks. He's earned this opportunity, taken full advantage of it. Really excited, obviously, with JBL on our car this weekend for the very first time. So excited for Toyota, for Joe Gibbs Racing, for all of our group. Eric did a great job again. I, too, was pretty nervous about the fuel. I heard him talking about it, and I'm thinking, oh, gosh. And he wasn't checking up, so I figured, well, they're going for it for sure. So congratulations to the guys, and looking forward to a long career with you.
Okay, we're going to open the floor for questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start with Lee, then go to Todd, then to Jerry.
Congratulations, Eric and Christopher. Christopher, what's bigger, this or winning the Chili Bowl? And, if you cap it up off with the Truck Series, this has got to be the most memorable year of your career.
It really has. It's for the amount of races that I've ran and won has been my best year of my career. For me personally, the Chili Bowl will always be my number one because I grew up in Oklahoma, and that's what racing meant to me. For my career, there's no question this is the biggest win of my career so far.
And Steve, pretty much out there, you're like a father seeing two kids fight when they're your own cars, but is it kind of like a no harm, no foul kind of situation between the 20 and the 18? Because I believe Eric was trying to conserve fuel and, you know, kept hitting the wall, and it was just, you know, things just seemed to be unraveling for him in the closing laps.
Yeah, for sure it is. It's kind of heartbreaking when you see him. That was just good, hard racing, and, you know, I was kind of surprised. I'm sure Eric was more surprised at the closing rate he had when Christopher slid up there, which that's just part of racing, and I thought maybe he's going to try and cut down and beside him there. But, you know, that's a tough one when you see two guys racing their guts out all day long, and it's your two cars. That's probably the worst-case scenario for us, but it's also the pleasure of seeing the product of the young guys and how hard they race, and sometimes those things are going to happen. That's racing. That's competition. That's the sport we're in. So, you know, we'll lift up the guys that didn't have a great day, and we'll come at it again with them. And today, you know, we're celebrating Christopher's first win.
Todd?
Christopher, Todd Engel with the KC Star. You mentioned, you know, later in those last laps that you found something. What exactly did you find, and when did you sort of realize that, you know, making a run at the lead was a definite possibility as the race came down to the wire?
Well, I actually probably figured out about, I don't know, lap 120 or so, kind of the end of that fuel run before the last yellow. The top, so all day long, the top kept moving up, but we hadn't got to the homestead line that I call it, which is right on the wall. And kind of to that point, you know, I wasn't fast enough. They drive away from me. And then once it got to the homestead line, the groove moved up and got all the way to the wall. I found my little air cushion there, and I could just start accelerating really hard out of the corner, starting to drive in deeper. And at the end of that, or the second to last run, I told Eric that I was probably just a little bit too free, and then he made the right call. And I wasn't great to fire off on the last run, but played dividends at the end.
Jerry
Jordan, Kicking the Tires, that Performance Racing Network. Obviously, you offered no apologies for getting out there and winning the race, and the pass looked good. But what was going through your mind when you were sliding up on the high side like that in front of him? Did you, I mean, obviously you got in the back of you. What did you feel? What was your reaction to try and hold on to the car and going through your head?
Well, I'd had a lot of those slide jobs through traffic, and so I knew what the limits of my car were at the time, and I knew how hard I could drive in without hitting the wall off of four. And you know, I had a pretty good run into three. I think, I don't know if he got the wall off of two or if he wiggled a little bit, but I got a pretty good run off of two and drove in. And Tony, my spotter, cleared me clear one, clear two, and so at that point I knew I just had to get to the top, because if I didn't get to the top and he would have drove around me, that's the race. And you know, after watching the replay, he saw me coming for a long time, and he had an option to turn down underneath me, and he thought his best move was to try and drive around me, and the hole closed. So that's really unfortunate. Like Steve said, that you want to run 1-2. That's what you want to do. You don't want to crash each other trying to win the race. But you know, we both want to win, and that's a product of it.
Go next to Niter.
Chris Knight, CatchFence.com. Congratulations to you guys. Christopher, at what point did you know that you were catching Eric for the lead, and did you think it was going to be easier to pass him?
Well, it's never easy to pass. Me and Reddick raced around each other all day long, and we couldn't pass each other to save our lives. Whenever he was in front of me, I couldn't pass him, and whenever I was in front of him, he couldn't pass me. But you know, once he got off my bumper there with about 30 to go or so, I think, my car just came to life, and I could just run really, really hard, and caught the 22 pretty fast, and he got bottled up in traffic, so that there's one. And then I run the 20 down, and I knew he was going to be obviously the hardest car to pass, and then once he wiggled in turn two, that kind of opened up the passing lane for me. But if he wouldn't have made a mistake, it was going to be extremely hard to pass him.
Any additional questions down here in the deadline room? Go to Aaron.
Aaron Bearden, Kicking the Tires. Christopher, you and Eric haven't raced against each other a whole lot. He's always kind of been a series above you outside of maybe late model starts. But in the times you've ran together, how would you say your relationship is with him within the organization and on the track?
Well, really, we haven't raced against each other that much. Or maybe we've been in the same race, but we haven't been around each other on the racetrack. And the one other time that I can relate to racing with him would be at Winchester for the Winchester 400 a couple years ago, and me and Eric were 1-2 all day long, and really me and him were the class of the field, and I ended up getting into the wall with I think 30 or 40 to go, and let him win the race. So I guess it's kind of ironic how that works out, but We haven't really raced around each other too much, and just from watching him, obviously he's one of the greats coming up, and yeah.
Go next to Lee.
Eric, you've raced with some greats from KB. I mean, you've seen them all come through the Toyota system. Where does this kid rank?
Up there pretty far. I think Steve and the guys at JGR asked me earlier in the year about it, and I was still at KBM, I think, when Christopher started coming around and run some late model races. You know, I always say this about KB. KB doesn't get enough credit for his feel in a race car. Everybody just thinks he's fast. His information he gives me is really good and helps the crew make better race car, better decisions. And Christopher, for no more experience than he has, is really good. His information is as good as any young kid I've worked with in my career. So, and he's 48, I think, that I've set atop a box now for in a NASCAR event. So I've seen a few. So, you know, his information, I think, is, and that's what led us down the path and where our race car was. We knew we wanted to be good on the long run. If you look at our practice, I think we ran more laps than anybody yesterday in practice and didn't have a rookie set of tires. Everybody thought we did, and we didn't. So we put a lot of laps on our race car, knowing that this race typically goes green a lot, and I felt like that was probably going to be our best advantage. You know, it's going to be hard to beat Blaney and Eric Jones on a short run. You know, those guys are really fast. Their cars are really good, but I knew if we got our car good on a long run, we'd have a shot to have a good finish today. No.
Jerry?
Chris, one more. Eric said he was going to come talk to you after he got out of the car. I'm sure that conversation will happen at some point, but you know, JGR is no stranger to controversy amongst its teammates. How do you think that conversation will go, and you end up in Steve's or coach's office next week?
I have no idea. You know, I'm gonna be the first one to reach out to him as soon as we get out of here if I don't see him. I did not intend to crash him. That was not in my head, and I didn't think I was gonna crash him. But you know, that's something that I'm going to have to work out with him. And, you know, we're racing against each other in 2 weeks and the week after that. So just have to, I guess, see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. This happens when you're going to be racing against each other, teammates or otherwise. And, you know, Christopher's got a great attitude. And I'm sure when Eric thinks about it, you know, could he have done something different? I don't know. He probably doesn't know. But, you know, it's an emotional sport. You're here to win races, and that's what we want to do. So I certainly would expect him to be upset, be disappointed if he wasn't. But I think they'll both handle it well. You know, I think a little bit of time will heal wounds, and they'll go at it. I mean, again, when you've got guys racing for wins, unfortunately, that's what's going to happen in the sport. You don't want it to happen, but it will when you've got good competitors going against each other. So, you know, that's I think some of the lessons I've probably learned watching Coach, how he handles it with not only his football players but with our drivers, and I think he would say the same thing.
Any questions from the press box?
Brett Williams, SpeedwayDigest.com. Being from Norman, Oklahoma, do you consider Kansas a home track for you? And if so, how much sweeter does today's victory mean for you?
Yeah, it really is kind of sort of a home track. The thing is that I didn't really spend that much time in the Kansas City area, and I did spend quite a bit of time in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So that's why I consider Texas my number one home track. But really, reality and distance, they aren't really too much different from each other. So this is somewhat of a home track, and I haven't won here before, so that always makes it really sweet. So yeah, it's every win sweet.
Well, Eric, Christopher, Steve, congratulations on a great race today, and good luck.
Thank you.